Well, we're very excited about this project. So it's probably the most exciting thing I've been involved in my career. So essentially, it started off with a coffee room discussion about what is robustness. And my colleagues, I should just say who's involved in this. It's myself and then Julian Blow, who's a molecular biologist, and Luca Albergante, who's a postdoc who has a background in computer science. We were having a coffee one day a couple of years ago and got into an argument about what is robustness and how does it connect to evolvability. And Julian had this wonderful insight that somehow, because cells are so complex and can be described by so many parameters, the fact that they are robust means their robustness can't depend on parameters. So he said the magic word, which was somehow it's qualitative. And then the whole project went off from there. And Luca found this theory from the 1960s that was written down by economists Ruppert and Quirk called qualitative stability, which basically says if you have a network, and they were thinking about a network of companies, is there a particular shape the network can have so that it's always stable no matter how strong or weak the links are? And so we took this idea and applied it to gene networks and found that Ruppert and Quirk's theory from economics actually holds in gene networks, which is a sort of remarkable application of one area of science to another. But because in biology things evolve, we could take their theory a lot further so that it's not just a question of these gene networks obeying Ruppert and Quirk's theory about having certain shapes that make them very stable. They also have to be buffered against losing that stability through mutations and evolution. So we essentially have this buffered qualitative stability theory in one sentence, which is that gene networks are designed to be free of long loops and also to be buffered against getting long loops. And just from that one statement, you can make lots of predictions about what gene networks should look like, and then we can test those predictions against gene networks that have been measured for bacteria and yeast and human cell lines. And the remarkable thing is all of the predictions that we make from this very simple theory are found to be true. So that's very exciting.
Well, that's just incredible because, you know, just superficially, who would ever have suspected it? But of course, it does make sense, doesn't it, to give that stability?
Absolutely. And the reason I'm at this conference is because we did one final thing, which was to then ask if we take a cancer cell line from a human cell line, does it satisfy the rules or not? And we find that whereas for E. coli and yeast and the non-cancer human cell line, which obey all of these different predictions for stability, actually the cancer cell line breaks every rule. So it's really sort of the bad kid on the block, and it's clearly through evolution in the body giving up all of these very carefully created patterns in the gene network, throwing them all away and becoming actually non-robust. And we think what this means is that it allows the cancer cells to be phenotypically plastic, so they can respond to all kinds of different environments in the body, which would be a very strong survival strategy for cancer cells. But I think the thing I'd like to stress is, though, that this is a theory which really has no parameters whatsoever, and all of the predictions are either just right or wrong. And so it's been extremely exciting to find that you can make a myriad of predictions where there's absolutely no room for error, they're either right or wrong, and we find in wild-type cell lines and E. coli and yeast and so on that they're all seem to be confirmed. So we really think we're onto something about how gene networks are made.
Can in the long term that have any implications for treatment or prevention?
I think it has, actually, because what I should say is that even though cancer cell line that we studied breaks all of the rules, there's only a handful of genes that are misbehaving in a network of hundreds or thousands of genes that actually cause the network to break these rules. And so by looking at buffered qualitative stability, you can immediately zoom in to a handful of genes that are sort of key players in disabling the cancer cell's robustness. So this gives you a completely new way of thinking about targets. And what's even more exciting is by removing just one or two genes from this handful, you can essentially resurrect the robustness of the cancer cell again. So I think if one can look at the gene networks of cancer cells from different kinds of cancers, identify, you know, assuming that they have these loops and break BQS, identify the genes that are misbehaving, gives you a completely independent new way of identifying strong targets for gene therapy.
Right, you need to study even more networks, don't you?
So basically this is an example now where the theory is ahead of the game. We've studied all of the data that's out there, so we just have to wait now for a year or two. Hopefully experimentalists will get excited about this theory and accelerate the pace at which they are generating these transcription networks. But the theory is sitting there waiting to be sort of wielded, and we're just waiting now for these large teams to generate more networks.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks, Pauline. It's great to see you.